Okay then, so good morning on the fourth and last day of the second International Linux Audio Conference. Great to see some of you have still survived the last days and hope also the last night. Those who weren't there, it was quite funny, a mixture of different concerts. But today, the last day, before we begin, some stuff about organizational things. Today we're going to have two talks which are running in parallel. So this one and the next one will be here, while at the same time two talks will be in the Kubus. After that, all talks until the rest of the day will take place in the Kubus, including the final panel discussion. So then, I guess most of you have heard about Jack before, and while it's quite renowned on Linux already, the Mac OS X port is maybe not so well renowned. I just told Stefan that this was in a German keyboards magazine recently, an article about it, mentioning at least that it's there, not mentioning that it's being based on some Linux work, unfortunately, but they were quite raving about the Mac version. So then I'll hand over the microphone to Stefan and his port.
Okay. So my talk will be basically in three parts. First, I will speak about what was done to actually port Linux code on Mac OS X, what we had to do to make the system work efficiently. Second part will concern several components we have developed to allow better integration of audio application on Mac OS X that use Core Audio architecture, the standard API on Mac OS X, and basically we have developed a kind of bridge that allows to use any Core Audio application within the Jack system by having the Core Audio application become a Jack client. And so this is part of what we call now a Jack OS X project, and several people are contributing on this project, and we have a package that is publicly available. And last part will be on new ideas we would like to explore, mainly concerning multiprocessor version of Jack, so a version of Jack that can take profit of multiprocessor machine. And it may be also the time to think again at the design of the Jack server and see if things can be restructured a little. The port on Mac OS X was done last year, and we had to adapt some missing API APIs that were not available at this time on Mac OS X. For example, shared memory has to switch to use a POSIX API. The second thing was that on Mac OS X, the audio engine activation is done in a callback. And since Core Audio driver are basically callback based, there was a need to redesign the way the audio loop is running into the Jack server. And after some discussion with Paul, Paul actually does a recoding of the engine loop so that it was easy to call it from the driver callback. Another thing that was needed, well, basically after this first part of the port, the Jack server was running, but not so well. And the activation system, so the way different clients are activated, was not running so well on Mac OS X, and we had a lot of X-runs. So after that, we found a better way to activate clients using something that is well done on Mac OS X, which is a remote procedure call system. Basically, the Mac operating system is a kind of microkernel, and then you have several layers on top of this microkernel, and the servers and the different layers communicate with a kernel using messages and port, which is a kind of channel to communicate between different processes on the machine. So since everything is based on the Mac port and messages on Macintosh, we had to use this system because it's quite efficient. And for example, if you use this remote procedure call, you can define synchronous function call between the server and the client. And this is quite fast because in some specific case, the scheduler can be completely bypassed and the call is actually very efficient. So using this synchronous call, it was possible to actually activate each client from the audio server by directly calling the audio process function of each client. So it means also that the way clients were activated had to be changed, and all clients were run in a loop inside the Jack engine. So the interesting thing with the RPC call is that it's called a thread migration system. Basically, the calling thread parameters, priority, time quantum, are transferred to the call thread. Another thing we had to do to make the system work well is the way we set up real-time threads. Basically, on Mac OS X, you can use a pthread API, but it's not really working the same compared to Linux. And for real-time stuff, the way to do is to use a constraint thread, fixed priority time constraint thread. These threads are characterized by having three parameters, a period, because they are supposed to be periodic threads, a constraint, which is the maximum duration you can afford before you consider that there is a missing deadline. And the third parameter is the computation duration, which is a time slice where you want your thread not being preempted. So it means that real-time thread, that is audio thread and MIDI thread, are all done using this class of thread. So for the Jack system, we had to use to add an additional real-time thread for to be able to call the process function of the client. For driver, the first step was to use Port Audio, which is an API available on a lot of systems that basically abstract the OS API for audio input-output, and it was the fastest way to have a running driver, but now we are developing a native Core Audio-based driver that will be, of course, more efficient and use what Apple gives to make stream format conversion and things like that. We can use a conversion component that is quite efficient, and particularly on Altivec machines. Here a slide on performances. Well, these are not complete benchmark, but basically the idea here is to try to estimate the maximum additional latency we have when the machine is doing other things, when we measure the duration of an audio cycle. So here in this case, running the Jack server with one client, then two clients, and more clients, and measuring the duration of the audio cycle, that is just after the driver read audio data, going into the Jack server, running the client, and coming back into the server. And then trying to see how this duration expand raised when you do other things, and so you have an additional latency. It's the thing is that this latency is quite low and bounded and seems to be really stable. So you don't have peaks of latency that could cause drops in sound. And for example, on this machine, it's about 200 microseconds. So it means that at that time, we can even run a jack with very small buffers, even if it's not you usually don't have to use this kind of buffer size. But now some words on the Mac Audio architecture. Basically, there are three layers that are interesting to explain more. The HAL, which is a hardware abstraction layer, is in user space and basically expose the API for application, for audio application, and deal with multi-channel audio. This is the layer which does real-time thread activation. So on-core audio, every application install an audio callback. But actually, this audio callback is called inside a real-time thread. And this is the job of the HAL layer to set up the real-time thread for the application and configure correctly the parameters. Then you have the IOKit layer, which is a C++-based layer that implements generic services you have to use when you develop a kernel driver, which is not our case, but just to explain the picture. And then you have the driver in kernel mode, in kernel space, and that directly interact with hardware. Which is somewhat different from what I understand on how things are working on Linux, in that on Macintosh, driver usually use a very big buffer, and the driver interrupt is not used directly to call back client. The idea is that they have a kind of software interrupt-based model where each client can have its own buffer size. It means that it has to be called by the kernel at regular interval. And since buffer size can be completely uncoupled compared to the real buffer size used internally by the kernel, they are using software interrupt to actually wake up the different real-time thread. So this is a job of the HAL layer, to take care of waking up a real-time thread at the right time. And since on this system all real-time threads are running at the same fixed priority, it means that if you want to have the correct functioning of the system when different threads are running at different buffer size, so at different period of time, you have to make the system interleave thread computation to be able to meet the deadline of all threads. And this is done by correctly choosing the value for the period computation and constraint parameters. And this is done by the HAL that knows, of course, all threads that are to be run in a real-time context, that is audio thread and MIDI thread. Another point is that driver usually publish their native capabilities. That means that they publish what they can actually do, the stream and sample format, sample rate, buffer size, and an application may have to use a conversion layer on top of that, so that to adapt these the driver parameters on its own way of dealing with sound. It means, for example, you may need to change the interleave, disinterleave mode and things like that. And usually you have to use audio converter, which are given by Apple and which are very well optimized, vectorized based on Altivec, for example. And last point, I will not explain details, but of course you have the audio unit API. Audio unit are the plugin format for on macOS 6 used by application. And there is also VST format that is still used on macOS 6. The jack audio router is the component we have developed as a bridge between regular Cordio application and the jack server. Basically, it's a way for a Cordio application to become a jack client, to be jackified. And it's actually a user space driver. So it was much easier to develop than going to the kernel. Well, I think it would not have been possible to develop the same idea in kernel space. So it was possible because this kind of driver can run in user space. And it's almost placed between the HAL and IO kit layer. This kind of driver has to implement the HAL plugin API. And since it's look like a driver for the system, it will be, of course, loaded by the HAL system, like any other kernel driver, to become available for application. So this is the basic idea to develop this bridge between Core Audio API and Jack API. Since it's a driver, the Jack component presents itself since it's a driver and it's also a jack client, so it presents itself as N mono non-interleave stream driver, because this is a format used by a jack client. It has a fixed buffer size and a fixed sample rate. So application will be able to access all these parameters, of course. It's also a driver that will be that can be used as a default system driver on macOS 6. You have the concept of this default driver system that is used by applications that are not supposed to be able to choose between different drivers. So, like iTunes and QuickType Player, for example. Now, some words about how was done the actual mapping of the Core Audio API and the Jack API. So the Core Audio API on the left is what applications have to use to access drivers, basically audio drivers, input, output. And on the right, you have the Jack API. So basically, you have two important things. The first part concerns the parameter query API. So it's a way for the application to read parameters of the driver, the buffer size, the sample rate, the stream format, and things like that. Then you have to implement the life cycle of the application. So an application will, at some point, call audio device add IO proc to add a new audio callback. This is mapped to jack client new, jack port register that allows to register audio ports. And then we need also to set up the callback using jack set process callback. Then at some point, the application will start actual audio processing using start IO proc, and this is mapped directly to jack client activate. At some point, the application will stop processing. It's mapped to client deactivated. At some point, the application will just remove its I/O proc, and at this point, we can call port unregister and check client close. So it was so not so difficult to make this mapping of two API, so that the application behave in a way quite. In a way that users are not completely lost. And last thing is we have to use some global settings. For example, since the Core Audio API has no concept of, well, you cannot directly say using the Core Audio API the number of jack ports you want. So one way to solve this problem is to have a global setting for that. So that application we use, for example, two input and two output, or four input and four outputs. That will be directly the number of jack ports that will be opened. You may also want your application to directly call connect to the driver. Yeah, so you have a setting set up for that, and you may want your application to use Jack as the default system driver. We developed also Jack plugins. Basically, the idea is to be able to have extended routing capabilities inside applications that can host plugins. So the same way in Ardour, you can, at some point in the audio pass, get audio using Jack port and have an external treatment and get the result. Here we can use plugins to do that, Jack plugins, Jack aware plugins. And there are two formats of plugin, audio unit and VST API. Then we need also an application to set up all parameters of Jack, so it's something similar to QJack Connect on Linux. It allows to set up parameters and also contains a connection manager. So basically, we can have this kind of picture, the Jack server that can be used, of course, directly by native Jack clients like Pure Data, and I think SuperCollider also can be used natively on macOS X. Then you can have Core Audio application that access Jack server using the JAR plugin, Jack JAR driver. And you may also use Jack plugin for extended routing capabilities. And you may use this kind of setup where you have an application that access directly the hardware without using Jack, but that can access Jack using a plugin. So this is a kind of, well, this is the way we may use Pro Tools application that you otherwise you could not use into this this setup, because DigiDesign has a special strategy on macOS 6, and it's quite difficult to use the application. All these components are actually developed by two other people, Johnny Petrantoni and Dan Dingreen. And it's now part of what we call a JackOS 6 package, which contains a Jack server, a JAR driver, Jack plugins, and Jack pilot application, and we have set up a SourceForge project for a new SourceForge project for this Core Audio based development, and there is also a website. And Johnny Petrantoni basically developed the Jack pilot application, Jack plugins, and help for the JAR driver, and Dan Nigrin made the documentation. Wrote the documentation, testing, and web site setup. Some words about synchronization. Of course, we at some point we may need to use to synchronize a different application. And usually, your application use MIDI to be synchronized. And since there is also an API for synchronization in Jack, which is called a Jack Transport API, at some point we probably need to make also a bridge between these two different way of dealing with synchronization. And one way to do that is to have a Jack client that will map synchronization event from the Jack system into MIDI MIDI events. Now some words about possible evolution for Jack on the server side. First of all, I think even if the code is quite portable because it's C POSIX based code, at some point for this kind of system you have to use OS specific stuff to be really efficient. So even if the code is designed to be portable, at some point you have to do that. So it means the idea of having exactly the same code on all platform maybe is not completely correct. So for example, on Mac OS 6, after this initial port, we find a better way to implement a server client system which use Mac interface generator stuff. Since developing server is something very usual on Mac, it means that you can develop a new API based on remote procedure call, so that you may call the server from the client or call the client from the server using this new API that can be synchronous or asynchronous. The MIG stuff allows to, so basically you define a new function prototypes and then you use this program that actually produce a bunch of .c and .h files. Basically it's the glue that will allow us to make a remote procedure call between the two process, server and client. And all the low-level stuff like using Mac messages and port and things like that will be completely hidden. And it's quite easy to use this system. So it means that for server-client communication, we could use this system instead of the socket-based system that is used currently in Jack. Well, and as an example of what we can do with that is basically the server needs an entry point, a public MAC port that client that new client will use to register on the server. For example, a client will use at some point RPC Jack client new with the name, and he will get a kind of reference number, for example. And at some point, the server may have to call some code on the client side, and you may define this kind of function so that the server can call a port register callback on the client side. So it's, of course, we can still keep the socket-based code even on Mac OS X, but I was trying to see what kind of system could be used also on Mac OS X. And at this point, I was interested of this stuff because it allows to make this kind of synchronous thread migration calls that was quite fast from the client, from the server to the client. But we will see that maybe this is not needed anymore. If we go at some point for a multiprocessor version, basically in the current version of Jack Server, the client graph is sorted to find out an order for client activation. This sorting is done each time the state, the topology of the graph chain, for example, when you make or remove connection or when a new client appears in the system. And then since you have this pre-ordering stuff, you can, you know, the server knows that he will have to call this first client, the second client, third client, and so on. And on Linux, this is done using this FIFO system that allows the client to know the next client to resume and so on. For a multiprocessor version, the idea is to be able to compute on different processor nodes that can be computed separately, that where you don't have data dependency between two nodes, you may compute them, execute them on two different processors. So it means that you need no more a priori sorting, and you have to switch to a data flow model, basically, where a client become runnable when all of its input ports have been filled up. So imagine in this kind of topology, starting from the input driver, A and B can be executed when input data are available. So these two clients could be executed in parallel on two different processors. But of course, C has to wait for A and B to be executed before it can be executed. So depending on the data dependencies between clients, you will be able or not to propagate the activation, propagate computation on different processors. So one way to describe these data dependencies between clients is to use an activation counter that basically counts the number of clients that this client, for example, depends of two clients. And this client depends of one, which is an input driver. This activation counter, each client will need an activation counter that will be in shared memory to be accessible by all process. And you need also suspend resume primitive that will allow a client to resume the next another client. And on Mac, one way to do that is to use inter-process semaphore. And probably on Linux 2.6, it will be possible to use the FITEX, which is a new inter-process wake-up primitive. So the idea is that at the beginning of each auto cycle, all clients are in a suspended state. Activating a client consists in decrementing its activation counter. And if the activation counter reaches zero, starting from the number you have to, at the beginning of computed from the data dependencies, the client will be resumed. So on Mac OS 6, it will be done using signaling the semaphore and wake the FITEX on Linux. Then the client become runnable, and it will be executed when the scheduler sees that this process become runnable. Of course, all the clients have to use the real-time thread to be executed first. So the driver resume client connected to the input and maybe also client without any input connections. Each client after calling its process function, the client propagates in its output. So basically, each client has to know the output it has to, the output client it has to activate. It will decrement the activation counter in shared memory of all the output clients. And at some point, so this output client will reach a runnable state and will be run and so on. And of course, we need to be able to detect loops in the graph. And one way to do that is to mark the client as executed in this specific audio cycle with a flag to be able to detect and avoid loops. So these activation counters are reset at each at the beginning of each audio cycle. Since, of course, we have to take account that the graph topology will change each time we change the connection state. So, since we are basically taking a new state, a new connection state at the beginning of each audio cycle. And this version, of course, still runs on monoprocessor, and it should scale well as soon as we have machine with four processor, and should, of course, if you have a parallel node in the graph, it should be very efficient. Some words about what could be done also to make the JAX server more structured at some point, maybe isolate the client-server communication code, isolate the client activation code, since we have different system, FIFO, Linux, RPC on the current monoprocessor version, and probably Futex and Semaphore in a future multiprocessor version. We can also probably secure the use of shared memory. Right now, all shared memory are read and write everywhere, can be written and read by the client and by the server, and you can probably have client that will write in some part of the shared memory and completely crash the server. So it's not very secure at this moment. One possible way also to simplify the whole JAX server is if it's in this version there are still some duplication of data structure and management inside the server and client parts. For example, the port state, one part of the port state. And if this can be moved to shared memory, it will probably simplify the whole management of all this data structure. And also, we may probably simplify some issues concerning access of data in shared memory that have to be done in a lock-based fashion right now. If we change at some points some data representation, it may simplify this kind of lock-based access. Some more things that could be done, and maybe it's less important, but right now there is a freewheel mode that allows the JAX server to run as fast as possible, and it's done directly in the JAX loop. Maybe it could be it's extracted as an autonomous driver. There is also a watchdog thread that is used to detect cases where the system is almost completely blocked by a very time-consuming client and probably kill the whole client. But on Mac OS X, this notion of watchdog thread is actually already built in as a core audio layer. So on macOS 6, if you have an application that takes too much CPU time, at some point its thread will lose the real-time characteristic, and so it's not necessary to have an additional watchdog thread on macOS 6. There are still some problems in part of the API, maybe that could be solved if we change the way ports, for example, are represented if they are moved in shared memory. But this has to be checked, of course. Maybe a short demo to see. So here I have the Jack Pilot application, which is a global system to set up parameters. Here I can change, choose a driver, choose the buffer size, and things like that. Define the number of virtual input audio ports, which are actually jack ports for the core audio application that will use this driver. Here the system is started, Jack is running, and this is an example of a native Jack client, the famous Carplus Strong Faust effect that was presented yesterday. Now I can open a Core Audio client, the live application. It could be faster. Here, in the audio preference, I can choose between different drivers, and Jack appears as Jack Audio Server with a number of input and output. So, basically, it's working. I have the connection manager here. You see the live application in Carpus, Faust Carpus appearing here. And, well, I can open another one, make a connection between two Core Audio clients. Put this application record mode, and record a mix of this and this. Okay, so listening to the mix result. Okay.
So questions? Yes, I have one myself. Quite generic question. I just wondered, in Linux world, we have found that with the 2.4 and 2.6 kernels during the Jack development, there were lots of places where you had to optimize the kernel code itself to avoid X-runs, like all of these low LED and preempt patches. Mm-hmm. We can do this because we have the source. In Mac world, if you discover possible X-run problems, are you in contact with Apple, and are they responsive to input from you about fixing things, if there are things to be fixed?
Right, of course, this part of the code is available for, the Darwin layer is public on Macintosh. and the scheduler and things like that are public. But I think there are very less people that on Mac world that actually understand what's going on in this part of the kernel. And then you have all the these different audio layers, the driver, hard layers, and some parts are public, open source, and some parts are not public. For example, the HAL layer, which actually does the job of setting up the real-time stream correctly, is not public. And so it's are actually quite complex to get information, to be honest. And if you want to do things correctly, you have to understand yourself and try to figure out how things are working. But the current situation on Mac is that the kernel, it's quite good for real-time stuff. And probably it's kind of kernel that is not, maybe context switch are more costly than on Linux, and some low-level operation are not so good, but basically the kernel seems to be more stable for this, stable is not the word, of course, but for this kind of stuff. And by doing the kind of test I showed, this maximum latency is quite low, and well, things seems to work very well without having to change anything in the kernel in the current version, current situation. And I hope, I think it will remain, of course.
Other questions? Yep.
I have a question concerning the multi-threaded version. Actually, it's more a question about Jack, which I don't know as well as I should. What does the Jack spec say about processes which run multiple Jack clients? Because you could create a race condition in an application which thinks it's single-threaded, but as Jack is then running multi-threaded, it would be a multi-threaded application. So I could imagine that maybe an application writer assumes that his callback is just called once and not twice at the same time.
Ah, yes. Well, I don't know if there is a lot of applications that are using several Jack clients. I think usually it's not a good design, but...
I wouldn't say, maybe it's unspecified, and several people have asked, and I've told them it's not an appropriate way to use Jack. It's written with the intent that one address space, one process is one Jack client, and you don't mix up two Jack clients in the same process. And to be honest, I think three people have asked me that over the last couple of years, and in every case, once it's been explained to them what the model is, they immediately say, oh, yeah, there's no reason to do that. Mm.
I'm not sure even the current code can do that in a completely safe way.
It actually can. I did try it one time. Okay. There is no globals or anything, but it can immediately lead to wrong conclusions about what the graph should look like. So.
Well, and it could lead to race condition in the application itself, but you. Well, if you say it's unspecified whether the callbacks are run in parallel, then you have to take care of it in your application yourself. Yeah. You just have to be aware of that. So that would always be a solution. Mm-hmm. But if it's not the model, then it shouldn't arise anyway. So.
I'm actually very enthusiastic about the multiprocessor data flow model that Stefan's presented. And when we switch to this, it will obviously be... I mean, the documentation and the API will be amended to reflect the fact that the process callbacks will be run in parallel. Mm-hmm. And I think for all existing applications, it will make no difference. Mm-hmm. But obviously, some people may be setting up some kind of system somehow that, yeah. So.
Okay, one last question from François, and then I guess we have to stop there.
If I understand correctly, the change of activation scheme that you propose is with the idea that in this case, two process callback can be run on two different processors at the same time. On the other hand, you clearly lose the static compilation saving. It means that if you activate the graph the way you propose, you do the compilation at each run.
What? Do you
have an idea if this can be a significant overhead?
You mean compilation, finding the...
Yeah, this is making a sequence of call. It is making a topological sort of a graph.
Well,
and
I think it's... Well, basically, you can keep... you need for each client needs to know the list of output clients. Mm-hmm. You compute that each time you change the connections, which is done out of a real-time process, but basically. And then for each audio cycle, you have this activation counter decrementing stuff, which is quite... I don't think in this kind of system, you don't have a hundred of application. You have maybe 10 application. If it's already, I don't think it will be a problem to decrement shared memory counter and resume a semaphore. So compared to the current situation, I don't.
That's true. That for this part of the code, but there is another one that, and the reason why it is done in Jack this way currently, is that it saves a number of context switch.
Yes.
Do you think it's still possible to save the context switch?
Yeah, we'll not have additional context switch.
Okay.
Because here, as soon as the process is enabled, it will be run, so you have a context switch. You have exactly the same context switch number you have actually with
there,
the...
There won't be any back and forth between the client and the server?
No, exactly. It's completely distributed. Okay. I forgot to say that the server basically unlock the first client, take the buffer of the last audio cycle, write the output buffer, and go back to sleep. And then all client blah, 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 blah are activated. And when the last client is activated, basically it's finished. And next cycle you take, start next cycle.
Okay, then I'm afraid I'll have to cut you short now because the next talk is about to begin. Okay. Stefan, thank you very much.
Okay.
And then in roughly 10 minutes, we continue here with the last talk in this room for today, which will be Andrea Glorioso on Agnula.